Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Sorry I'm late. I'm so tired.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm exhausted. Well, I've been filming that music video for the last week. And it just came out and I'm so proud of it.
What are you talking about?
What? You didn't hear it? Padum.
Padum.
I mean, listen, I know that people kind of associate me with big ideas, lofty thinking, philosophical kind of quandaries. I was like, let's keep it simple. It took us forever to find that damn car, and I was like, I want to dance on a moving car. But they said it's too dangerous because it was supposed to be called Vroom Vroom. But then we changed it to Padum Padum.
It makes me think of, remember, have you ever seen the movie The Hunger Games?
Yes.
Okay, they live in Pan Am.
Yes.
And there's this scene where Katniss is giving this speech to Pan Am and she goes, Pan Am today, Pan Am tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Pan Am'd forever.
Well, that's pretty much the vibe of the song.
Pan Am today.
Yeah, yeah. And then it was like, I'm tired today because I was in the studio doing the Hindi version, papadum, papadum, and that was like a whole thing. We're kind of concerned that it's not going to be very politically correct, but it was a huge hit.
I mean, I'm not going to be able to police your Hindu pronunciation.
Hindi pronunciation.
Yeah, yeah. But I hope you can find somebody who can.
I hope so too, you know?
There are some artists who speak multiple languages and they record their highly popular pop albums in multiple languages. Like, I remember it blew my mind that Christina Aguilera had like
Spanish language, yeah,
and then stripped in Spanish. I remember being a kid crazy. And being like,
well, Shakira.
As a kid, it didn't occur to me that somebody could know multiple languages. So I was like, she must be just getting a coach and someone helping her sing each word in Spanish.
How does she? It must be magic.
It didn't occur to me she knows Spanish.
She must be a wizard. Well, I prefer Shakira's Spanish language songs much to her English.
I think it's clear that in English, it's a bit of a rough translation at times.
It's
Miss Shakira.
Gordita.
Lucky that my breasts are small and humble,
so you don't confuse them with mountains.
Mama,
you never heard
let me
that?
Look right into the camera. If your breasts can be confused with mountains, you need to get a mammogram yesterday. Yesterday.
The Sierra Nevadas across my chest.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You maybe want flowing molehills, or is it molehills?
I don't think it's molehills.
Make a mountain out of a molehill?
That's a small one.
Is it a molehill?
It's a molehill, yeah.
Or is it a mohill?
It's a molehill.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Like a hill that a mole comes out of. And if your mole looks like a hill, go to a
And if your molehill is grassy, you have to mow the molehill.
God.
Mama.
What about, girl, we got so much to talk about because we are two of the only living people who didn't go to DragCon.
Ah! And
DragCon's cute. DragCon's cute.
But staying home
going
is gorgeous.
Is gorgeous. And gorgeous devours cute. Where was I?
Ooh,
oh, I was in New York for the GLAAD Awards. So I was in drag for free somewhere.
Yeah, you were in drag.
The rub is I was somewhere in drag for
mama
free.
Mama for free, not getting paid, just being a Humpty Dumpty little like statuette.
And you know I don't like losing, but I lost.
You lost.
I'm happy to lose to we're here because we love the girls, we love the dolls, we love the divas. But when they said we're here, even though I heard, you know, if you go to these award shows and you're connected,
Mama, you know
you're mildly
tea.
Connected,
you, know
you can get the tea.
Well,
and I got the tea a week beforehand that we didn't win. And I said, that's fine. I'd never been invited to the GLAAD Awards, so I was thrilled to be there.
Yeah.
Thrilled.
You met a lot of stars, I saw. Or did you? Maybe that was at the awards here in LA.
That was the Vanderpump Gala.
Oh, the doggy
that
dog.
Was
like save the dogs. Save my dogs.
Yes.
So is it her dogs that get the money or all dogs?
So Vanderpump Dog Foundation, uh-huh, since 2016 has saved like 2,500 dogs' lives. They save 500 dogs a year. Plus they provide like, you know, if you're on a budget and your dog needs to get spayed and neutered, mm-hmm, they can connect you to a vet that will do it for a reduced price. Shit like that.
Wow.
So we went to the gala to raise the money. Ha ha ha. That was star-studded.
Okay.
Very star-studded.
Okay.
And you will
Mario Lopez.
literally next
extra,
to me.
Extra.
Next to, and you know,
are you serious?
Yes. David Silver goes, Mara Lopez.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yes.
Are you Joe? Extra.
Wait, did
extra.
You really not know that?
I had no idea.
Yeah, it was actually Mara Lopez.
I would not. Is, I would
I
like.
I can't believe you guessed that.
I have no. I mean, I am psychic. That, literally, I would be like all night long. You would have to. She'd have to kick me out because I would all night long. I'd be like extra, extra. Like, I wouldn't be able to stop. Like if I saw Lady Gaga, I'd be like, oh, there ain't no other way, and I wouldn't be able to stop. I would not be able to stop. Fuck.
Yes.
Mario Lopez.
Well, the GLAAD Awards was fun. Harvey Guillen hosted, and
oh,
it's
amazing.
Fun to cut up and kiki with her. And I had an incredible joke that I wrote that got to play.
I'd love
to tell you about it now. So I come on stage, you know those old award shows, it's like shitty banter that's not funny, and everyone's eating like a half-eaten piece of fish, and they're like, whatever. They're waiting for the after party with the free booze. That's all they're waiting for. They're like, get me to the Stoli Lounge where I can get an enema with an alcohol-soaked tampon. Give it to me now. Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's talent executives and stuff, what do you call it? Network executives and stuff.
Like Harvey Weinstein.
And they're all out of town in their gowns. The executives of the networks.
Yeah.
And then they get wild because, you know, they all have dogs and kids.
Of course.
So after dark, they all smoke weed and get crazy.
Yes.
But so I'm sitting there and I have my little jokes and I go, Harvey, I know you're hosting a show.
Wait,
but
you presented?
With Harvey, yeah.
Okay.
I said, I know you're hosting a show, but I have to tell you about this new idea for a show. And he was like, are you sure? We're in the middle of the show. And I go, okay, get this. You would play a character who's like subservient to others. And he's like, okay. And I was like, yeah, but the people you're subservient to, like, stay out all night and wear makeup and elaborate costumes. And he's like, oh, that sounds just like my show, What We Do in the Shadows. And I go, no. This is about drag queens. It's What We Do in the Eye Shadows.
Oh my God, that's so funny and corny. That's really corny. Did it get one laugh? Of course it didn't.
And then they literally said,
terrible.
Thank you, Trixie. And I walked off. And I walked off like Vanna White. I delivered my one shitty joke and left.
You pointed to the exit, then fell into a molehill.
Exactly. That's all I had to do.
Mary, that's horrible.
But then I'll
Did
tell you.
Did you write that joke?
Yeah. I thought it was funny. What were we doing, the eyeshadows? I thought it was funny.
Like, brr, brr. Did you? You should have had a fart sound queued up.
But we had. But let's close the door in the spiritual realm of that event because again, I lost, and I'm happy for everyone who won.
Fuck them GLAAD Awards. Let's talk about Vanderpump
Doggy. Yes,
Bob
walked up there out of drag, and we all clapped while he took his award, while I sat in the audience in drag and ate a roll.
Out of drag,
Mama. Girl,
let me tell you something
Bob, I know you're watching this. Put on the fucking wig, bitch.
Let me tell you about something about Miss Bob. I saw a clip of Oprah Winfrey interviewing Madonna's sister, who I had no idea she had a sister. She has a sister. Madonna, and I looked right at the screen. Bob looks like Oprah Winfrey. Oh my gosh, the resemblance was uncanny. Bob and Oprah Winfrey separated at birth. Twins.
Separated at birth, decades apart.
Mama, this is an alternate universe. Get some imagination.
Now Bob has something I don't have, which is great style, a lot of drag. So, but I mean, Bob out
Does
of drag
he?
Can still turn a look.
Oh, okay, okay,
Me out
okay,
of drag,
okay.
Grandpa, take the sweatpants off and go home.
Just
get the fag off the TV. I'm not watching that. So Bob, of course, looks good out of drag, accepting an award. That's the difference.
Okay.
Because if I have to go somewhere
out
of...
You would have turned a look out of drag. You would have gotten a fabulous little suit and some weird hat.
But it's honestly more work for me to figure out an out of drag outfit.
I understand completely.
Bob getting an out of drag outfit together is almost more stress, I think.
Yeah.
So then we go to the fancy gala.
Okay.
Well, they're both fancy.
Yeah.
But it's the... And this is my third gala in 3 weekends. Now, mind you, 3 weekends ago, I had to go to that LA LGBT gala.
Yes, that was
where
the
I told
one.
You I was drive-by robbed. I didn't tell you this story! Oh, my God!
Wait, this is the one with Donatella Versace?
No!
Oh.
This is the one with OJ Simpson.
What?
I'm kidding. That's my...
Well, you were serious about Mario Lopez, so I figured why not.
Okay. I'm at the Hungry Jacks. No, I'm at the Taco Bell on La Cienega with Mario Lopez and OJ Simpson.
Shut up. In the drive thru on your feet.
Yes. On my knees. Blow J. Simpson.
Stop.
So I sucked his car.
Stop it. So Tell the truth.
So 3 weeks ago is the LA LGBT Center Gala, and they're honoring Leslie Jordan. So, of course, I'm going to go.
Yes.
But I didn't tell you about this part.
No.
The host is T.S. Madison, who's fucking beautiful, incredible,
I know this,
great.
Yes,
I did tell the story?
No, I know this event. I know this event.
So she's hosting. She's amazing. Every time she comes out, we all clap. She looks gorgeous. She's hilarious. She reads the prompter. We all love when she reads the prompter. We love the whole hosting thing, right? We love the prompter.
Yeah, we love what she does
with it. We love it. And she comes and she's walking around the audience and she's going, there's a whole section where after they've done the auction, they just walk the audience and they ask.
They shake them down for cash.
They on the microphone go like, so anybody at this table, we're looking for $5,000. Come on, it's for a good cause. You, sir, you're with that nice lady. It's kind of like, don't you think she'd be impressed if you don't? It's like kind of razzing people to donate. And by the way, it's a room full of people who are rich. The really rich people are peppered in. And this is a good cause. So because it's for the LA LGBT Center, I'm like, oh my God, rob us.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Extra.
Yeah. No, this isn't the Vanderpump. Mara's not there.
Okay.
Different gala. Okay. This isn't three galas. That's what that so this is before. This is the first one.
This
is why I went into the other ones.
She robbed you.
So she walks by. She's walking by me. And I go, God, that's not me. Because I don't like being called out by anyone like that because it scares me.
Yeah.
So she sees Simone. And she goes, Simone, didn't she just win $100,000 on RuPaul's Drag Race?
60 after
and she
tax,
walks by me and I go, yeah, she did. She sure did. She should give some money.
Yeah.
And then, on her way to Simone, TS goes, as a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, one of the richest drag queens in the world is in this room. Trixie, do you have $7,500? And everyone started clapping, and I had to give them $7,500.
Extra.
Now the kicker is,
The
kicker is, I went in prepared to donate $5,000.
Okay, so next
I only got weaseled, but it was for a great cause. So that's why I was just like, just do it, whatever.
I don't know. Doesn't the organization turn everybody gay?
Groomer.
That's grooming deals. No, okay. No,
it's actually the LA LGBT Center is actually the world's largest queer nonprofit.
Oh, no. Yeah, no.
Most volunteers.
They're fierce, Tina.
Everything from like help for was queer
Philip
homeless.
Philip Picardi, was he organizing that, helping to organize that? Philip Picardi?
I don't know.
I think he was. He's a fabulous, fabulous person.
Oh, okay.
That's all. He was in media, a journalist, and then also...
Is he rich or famous? Because otherwise, who cares? Can he help me?
He's really sexy and very nice and very talented and wonderful. Anyways.
So that was the robbery.
You got robbed. That is a
shaken
fierce
down
tactic.
But it works.
Yeah,
and also,
no shit.
It's a good cause. If you can afford to give to that organization, you should.
But wait. So let me ask you this, though. What if...
And you have no business going to those type of fundraiser events if you're not prepared to give money.
Okay, that's my question. Because I'm like, what if you are the type of person that you lease your Bentley and you put up this whole front, but you actually have $400,000 in debt, credit card debt.
Don't go.
Okay, so you wouldn't go. So you wouldn't go at all.
Well, like I said, I came ready. Between Dave and I said, I'll donate this much. And then it's kind of like each of us donating $2,500.
Also, didn't the ticket... Or the seat cost money. Usually those fundraisers, like at the Met Gala, it's like $30,000 or something to show up or whatever.
I'm sure it is, but we were invited.
Okay.
And it was there. They were instituting an award.
Could I have gone? But they wouldn't have let me go.
No, they would have let you go.
You think so?
I just didn't invite you.
Wow. Well,
Orville Peck invited me as his plus one. And then once I got on the list, they gave me an invite.
Okay.
So originally I wasn't invited. I was the plus one.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
But then I got my own invite. But it was for Leslie Jordan, and they did something called like the Leslie Jordan Artistic Achievement Award that they now will award every year in Leslie Jordan's name, which is very cute and sweet. So then the following weekend, then I go to the GLAAD Awards. It's in New York because now there's two. There's LA and New York.
Oh
so I got to go to the New York one.
By coastal elites having all these galas.
But luckily it was the weekend of DragCon. So I kind of had like a mental out. Like I got to go do this other thing.
Yeah.
That I'm not even LA for DragCon.
Yeah.
So I got to go do that. It was fine and fun and gorgeous and sweet and cute. And you bump into people you know and it's fun.
It's a New York minute, just like Mary-Kate and Ashley.
But the thing about those award shows is you got to dip before people. If you're in drag, you have to dip before people get drunk enough to start taking pictures. So you got to get out.
Yeah.
So right at the end of the show, I grabbed my bags and ran and drag. And then Maren Morris chased me to the elevator. And
who's Maren Morris?
She's a country star.
Oh, okay.
And I'm glad she did because I got to meet her, but I just sprinted because I was like, especially now that I'm not drinking.
Yeah. Mary.
And Mama, I bought a marijuana vape. But good I'm scared you. Of secret vaping inside. I'm like scared. So then I'm like at the dinner and I have this, the vape was the size of, I don't even know, like a boop, boop, like a car unlocker.
Yeah.
So little.
Yeah.
I had to get out of there.
You blow it into your blouse.
I'm in a gown.
You blow into your purse.
Oh, that looks normal,
big
right?
Big purse. Yeah, you pretend like you're puking. Oh, I'm so sick.
Yeah, or down the back of somebody else's gown.
There you go. Yeah. Now we're talking.
So then this weekend, it was the gala, the Vanderpump Dog thing.
The doggy daycare.
That thing. Was the celebs.
Okay, so extra. And then who else?
Rebecca Romaine.
Oh, star.
Jerry O'Connell.
Star, married. Lovely couple, by the way.
People from Vanderpump Rules who I don't know.
Tom Sandoval.
Yeah, that kind of people.
Yeah.
Mario
I've met him.
Lopez.
Extra.
Mario Lopez, who looked about 12 years old in the flesh. It was incredible.
The devil has done its work on that man's face.
Perfect it face, is, perfect skin. He was so nice. Love him. He helped host the event.
Hollywood, what a fucking pro. I bet that he...
He went up there. Mama. He had he introduced everyone and like did the microphone thing. Mama. Flawless, of course.
Flawless articulator.
Yeah. And then God smiled. God has smiled on me because.
Don't ever say that again.
Because guess who gets seated next to me? It's fucking Steve-O, bitch.
Oh, that's right. I saw your post on Instagram.
And I never know who anyone is.
Yeah. But you know Jackass, you fucking dude bro love. Idiot.
And not to be whatever, yeah. But my brother and I, my brother's heterosexual, we never had anything in common.
But you love watching people get punched in the balls.
We both love Jackass. Yeah. So as a kid in a trailer in the country, that was like one program we both would agree on. So we watched a lot of Jackass as a kid.
I like Jackass. I would watch it. It's amazing. It's so watchable. Very watchable. Who wants to see? I mean, who doesn't want to see somebody's balls get electrocuted or like mauled by a bear or stung by, you know, like.
Right. It was great. It was great to kiki with her and all that. And then.
Steve-O?
Yeah, I love her.
Okay.
Love her.
She?
Love her. And you know, guys like him where they're straight, but they're so wacky.
Oh, yeah.
I have like zero fear of them thinking they don't want to talk to a drag queen.
Oh, yeah. They don't give a fuck.
And he came alone. So I took that as
I think he's sober too.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
So I took it as a license to kill because he and I were the only two people at the table not drinking and he came alone.
That's fierce.
So I was like, my favorite color is pink. Anyway, I'm from Wisconsin. I just started.
You just punched him in the balls.
Yeah, I just grabbed him. I said, so you're Steve-O. Should we stick something in your skin? Like,
so I have this dinner fork. Should I shove it up your pee hole?
Yeah, totally.
Do you like, what about Johnny Knoxville though? Was he there?
No, but he's so gorgeous. He's so my God, so beautiful.
What are the stars? More stars, more stars.
Fucking Paula Abdul, bitch.
Holy shit, Tiny.
Tiny, and she watches the Trixie YouTube channel.
Get out of here.
Yeah, so she DM'd me during COVID.
Oh, that's right, I remember that.
And she was like, love your content. And I thought, this is probably a fake account.
Yeah, totally.
But then when I bumped into her, she was like, I love your videos.
Was Kylie Minogue there?
No Kylie Minogue, Kristen Chenoweth.
Oh my God, but just as good.
Yeah, Kristen Chenoweth.
5 foot and a whisper.
It was crazy, because the week before at the GLAAD Awards, Idina Menzel sang.
And Gravity, is that her?
That's her.
Yeah.
And then this weekend, Kristen Chenoweth.
My God,
who's
next?
Also in Wicked.
Lea Michele's next.
No, I think we're working through the Wicked cast one by one.
Did you see Wicked?
The musical?
Yeah.
I've seen it 2 times.
You loved it.
It's great. I mean, Stephen Schwartz, who wrote the music, it's this beautiful like Broadway kind of 80s pop score. Mm-hmm. And then obviously it's a retelling of the events of Wizard of Oz.
9/11. Oh, yeah. I hated that show, but I don't like musicals.
9/11? That was the news. That's not a show.
They played it over and over and over again.
You're like, they kept playing
the reruns. Oh, my Lord.
Not to be funny. This isn't funny. Ooh. I remember exactly where I was.
Of course, when you saw Wicked.
Well, I was at Wicked. No, originally in the show, this is so horrible. I'm not even going to say it. So, I was in 7th grade in science class and my teacher, Mr. Slattery, it's like 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And he rolls Tuesday. In the TV. I don't know if they do this anymore, but back in the day, the teachers had a TV on a three-tiered stand.
Totally. Absolutely.
That you check out from the media room.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whatever.
Yep.
And they plug it in. And I remember it was like, this is science class. And it felt I was equal parts too young to understand terrorism or 9/11 or what was happening, but also old enough to know that, okay, we could probably watch this with the sound off. Like maybe it's traumatizing to show
you. Really? You had that thought at that time.
It felt like maybe we shouldn't in school be dedicating the whole day to watching this.
Okay. Interesting.
It felt a little scary.
Okay. A little traumatizing.
not traumatizing, but I remember being like, whoa, this is way more serious than anything else we've ever done at school.
Sure.
Like, this is very serious.
Yes, 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 yes. You were how old?
I was in seventh grade, I think.
So how old is that?
13.
13, because I was 20. Yeah, I was 20.
We were in college when it happened.
Yeah, visual language, 8 a.m. Tuesday morning. There's like, we can't go through the class because there's been a terrorist attack in Boston, in New York. And then we went down into, we left the class, and then we went down into the dorm and watched the TV, and everybody was crying. It's crazy.
Scary. That's crazy. What I mean. Yeah. I was young enough that it was not, it was actually so scary that I don't think I was old enough to understand it, and that scared me more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was
Well,
the adults are really upset, but I'm 13 and I'm mostly like,
well, it was crazy because that was my first day of art school, and I was like, it was so early, 8 a.m. class, and I was not excited to be there, but I was also excited to be at art school. But then, so when we got word that class was canceled, I was excited, and then we learned why, and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, scary.
Yeah.
Well, I never flew on a plane. When people talk about like airports before 9/11, I never flew before that. So my idea is that you used to just grab your rifle and just walk on the plane and sit down. And that's it.
Yeah. I mean, you don't check your bags. You carry your knives with you in your hands. Mm-hmm. No, I don't, please don't even get me started about TSA. Cause
I cannot deal
with the farce. It's
a fantasy.
The fantasy.
It's
the
a
farce.
Performance. It's drag. Actually, it's drag.
It's the worst drag show I've ever been to.
Everybody puts on their costume and they pantomime safety.
It's
make believe.
And then one thing in a country where there's gun violence every day, where there's gun violence every single day domestically, people are shot, killed. Children are gunned down every single day in this country, and yet we have to take off our shoes.
No kidding.
And I have to take off my laptop, and I can't have a glass and a bottle of water that I bought for $13 in the fucking airport.
No kidding. When you go through TSA and they pull out a bottle of water and they look at you like you are
Osama bin Laden.
The Unabomber. Yes. And you go, it's literally lemonade.
I'm dehydrated. It's 7 a.m.
My piss is brown.
Yeah, my piss is brown. I've slept 4 hours. I did wiggle last night.
I was at a club in a wig until 4 a.m.
Yes. It's so fucked up. And then people, it's just so fucked up.
The costume. I want to say, I also respect them for what they do. Good for them.
No, everybody's worthy of dignity. But mama, this whole structure has got to go.
Of course. And I've never once given them an ounce of lip or attitude.
You don't
ever
do that. Nobody wants to be at work. Nobody wants to go to work.
Have you seen the amazing clip of the guy? This is guy standing there with his arms out, and the agent is like rubbing him, and he's like, what is this? And he goes, that's my
hard
penis.
I've jerked off to that clip.
Yeah.
I've jerked off to that clip.
Let's take a break. Let's take a break. Fuck.
Because he's palpating that thing for a little too long.
But why is he hard at the airport?
Because guess what? I'll tell you something. Because
he's not hard. He's like half hard. But why is he half hard at the airport?
Mama, why are you half hard in the morning? Why are you half hard in the car on the way from the airport?
No,
because
but like,
the penis
can,
gets
no,
hard.
No,
mama,
no.
Get out.
You can control not getting a boner at TSA.
We have talked about this at length from walking through the airport.
The plane.
Plane and walking through the airport as well.
Well, when you're hard, no one knows.
Well, because it's a little peanut.
Because it's so small.
It's a little peanut. It's a little acorn.
People think you're carrying a pipe cleaner in your front pocket.
Do you have an acorn? One single acorn in
Is
there,
that
man?
A Zanny bar? Is that a Zanny bar in your lace panties?
Are you wearing bike shorts with a Tic Tac in there?
Is that two gumballs and a Tic Tac? Because your balls are so much bigger.
But not that big.
I'm saying bigger.
No. But he was like, he didn't need to be doing all that because he was doing this. He was doing that.
He was
Mary.
He
was
also
doing this.
The kicker is, he's male.
Yes.
What a dick is.
You know when you're
that
rooting
like
around
me
in the
coming
cellar,
onto someone.
There could be some mold. You know what I mean?
You know what a dick feels like. By the way, a warm, ushy gushy but hard dick where the dick is, and you're grabbing it going, what's this, sir?
Yeah,
we better get in the x-ray.
Yeah, that's my Snickers bar, my extra large Snickers bar that I forgot to take out. You want a bite?
Yeah,
that's my semi-erect penis, you fucking pervert motherfucking TSA piece of shit.
That could be a Snickers commercial. Yes! Where it's like Liza Minnelli, and it's like you turn into a total diva when you're hungry, and it's Liza Minnelli with a big vanny boner. And then she bites into it and turns back into like Earl or like whatever their friend is.
Why is she Liza? Why is she Liza? Why is she Liza?
Why isn't she Liza? Why isn't she Liza? Start spreading the news.
Oh, wait, did you? I'm sure you didn't watch it, but the Liza and Goldie. So, I mean, this is too late. They did it. Liza Minnelli and Goldie Hawn did a special on CBS years ago, 1970, whatever. And it was like a hour long special, basically Trixie and Katya live. They did. And it was started out with them like, hey, we should do a show.
Real singing, real talent, real...
Real everything. Yeah. Like, it started out with them going to the show, like, each of them individually driving to their to the studio. And they were like, you know, it was like, I'm worried about the other one. I'm worried about doing a show with her because she's so much better than me and vice versa. It was so fierce. And the whole fucking... the whole thing ended up with them doing All That Jazz at the end. It was like, I wish I had watched this 2 years ago. Yeah, I watched it on YouTube. It's fucking incredible. And we could have plugged ourselves into it so easily into a parody of it. Like, we could write it today.
Let's do it.
Yeah, it's fucking, it would be so great. You would be Liza and I would be Goldie. Because Liza, like in this universe, like Liza is, you know, the great singer, the great talent. Goldie's like the charming, but not very talented blonde. And, you know, it's like, it's so perfect. And they're so amazing.
And you said charming? And you said that's you. Okay.
But they have
so they're kind of going against type.
They have a serious acting scene together, and it's interesting because, no offense to Goldie at this point, Liza acts her off the roof, like off the. It's so fascinating to see Liza acts her off the roof.
Well, she might be off the roof.
Yeah, well, but yes,
she's on deck. She's on deck at the Radio City Music Hall.
She's on deck for tea time.
Should we shut LA down?
I think we should shut the whole city, the whole country.
I think it's a wrap. The country itself is a wrap. I'm watching Yellow Jackets and I'm seeing them crash in the Canadian wilderness. And you're like, if only it was that easy.
Yeah.
If only hacking the leg off. You eat your friend. Have you watched it?
Oh, yeah. I'm not up to date on the second season, but I lived for season one. Mama lit.
I had off this weekend.
Lit Tina. Yeah.
So I watched it.
You loved it. You loved the whole first season. Are you into the second season now?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you are. Okay.
Next week is the finale and then that's it for second season.
Did you love the second season?
Love.
Because you know what I'm struggling with TV and TV especially? I don't like a lot.
Okay.
And sometimes like if they're, you know, like you said the other day, if it's a movie that's supposed to be Oscar bait or prestige or like, you know, you don't, it kind of turns you off. A lot of these shows, I'm like, you need to grip me more. Like, yeah. Mama, you're boring.
Well, something Mama, you're I think, boring. Without giving away anything, yeah. Something Yellow Jackets does really well. And you've seen season one.
Yeah.
I think the world's seen season one, so I'll talk about that. But like, you can't tell moment to moment if what has occurred with these women as teenagers is bona fide, mystical, occult thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or if it's like mass hysteria, hunger,
Delusion.
Delusion.
Yeah.
And I'm at the end of season two now, and they still have left the viewer guessing without pissing me off.
Right.
Because I've been wanting to watch Lost.
Oh, you haven't? Oh,
and I've
Mama.
Never seen it.
Oh, shit.
But I've been wanting to watch it. But I've heard from Damon Lindelof of Watchmen that he said in that show he sort of at times frustrated the audience by leaving them guessing too long.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding
and
me?
And so I'm afraid of embarking on Lost and being like six seasons in and being like, what is going on?
Mama, you know wait till you get to the ending. And then wait till you get to the ending. Mama, I won't tell
you. Because at the end of Roseanne, it was a dream. And I don't like that.
I won't tell you. But Mama, it's a slap in the face.
Have you ever watched Roseanne all the way through?
I have not.
In season eight, they win the lottery.
What?
The Connors win the lottery in like season eight.
Yes. And they become the Beverly Hillbillies?
They become multi-millionaires. And so the last season and a half or so is them super
being bourgeois? Rich. You're
They're
kidding.
Super rich.
What?
It's crazy.
That's
insane. Makes almost no sense.
That's crazy.
And then in the last episode, you find out that
the lottery was a dream.
No, Dan cheated on her and she didn't win the lottery. And the whole lottery storytelling was her way of dealing with the fact that her life was still shitty. So then the last shot is her back in her old shitty living room being like, yup, it was all a dream. Isn't that crazy?
That's insanely weird and dark for that kind of show.
Especially since, I mean, I know that Roseanne's politics aren't exactly Miss America level.
No, she's a fucking lunatic.
But that program, season like one through four, five is absolutely incredible.
Okay.
Laurie Metcalf, Aunt Jackie, incredible. Wonderful. Like, what's his name? John Goodman.
Yeah.
Is so amazing. Good in Roseanne. Roseanne's so good in Roseanne.
So is the daughter and the son. They're all, it's a great cast. All it's fabulous. Good.
And more than other shows, you believe that's a family.
Yes.
Yeah. A real family.
Yeah. A bickering kind of poor white family. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Damn. Well, the whole, I love in a show where you got to have some kind of, and on a cliffhanger, like fucking Mayor of Easttown. I hate those. It's like, I hate shows about cops. I hate shows about, but every season, every like episode. Everything's about cops. It's like enough already. But every episode ended on a cliffhanger. Fabulous. All the acting, superb. So much action, so much blah, blah, blah. But like a lot of these shows, they're too slow of a burn. And when people say, oh, it's a great show, it just, you got to get through the first three episodes. I'm like, what?
Well,
I'm not suffering through 3 hours of bullshit to get to something good. Make it good from it, the jump.
Well, sometimes it's things like budget too. First seasons of shows, networks pull every risky joke. They don't trust them to do weird things. They don't give them money.
Yeah.
So a lot of times season two or three is better because they have more trust from the top.
Yeah.
They swing bigger. They spend more money.
Yeah.
So, like Buffy, for example, Peaches Christ has never seen Buffy. Mm. And I said, you should watch it. It's so good.
Because it develops.
I said, but the first season is a very budget CW.
Okay.
Even though the writing is funny and stuff. I said, but once you get going season two, when they have a little more trust and money, okay, it kicks off and gets so good. Okay. Have you ever watched Buffy?
No, I've never watched Buffy.
You're looking for something to watch? You never watched Buffy?
Buffy? No, I got to watch Succession.
Some like Buffy?
I got to get into Succession.
Girl, you don't have to watch Succession.
I saw the guy doing coke. I saw him getting shit in the bed and getting in the helicopter. I was like, that's it.
Not to shit on straight people.
But straight white people arguing about who's going to inherit money, mama, snooze Tina.
And I'm just like, this show's for straight white guys who have like a fantasy about being rich and powerful. Yeah. And rich, powerful, but also not hot.
Right.
Because they're like, it's me.
Right. It's like, I shit the bed. I could be a millionaire.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love the shows where, like Game of Thrones, for example, there was the perfect ratio of magic to realism.
Did you see the coffee cup when it happened?
I sure fucking did.
You did? Did you
absolutely
clock it?
Absolutely, I did. I don't know if I clocked it in the moment. I clocked it like...
After you were aware.
After, yeah. I think I clocked it in on Twitter maybe 20 minutes later. Because that shit was like boop, 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 boop. Yeah, crazy.
They went hard on that show for a coffee cup.
I think you would. The most expensive show in the entire history of the world.
It was probably one of the actors' cuffs.
Yeah, of course it was. But you're not clearing the frame for a fucking coffee cup.
Wasn't it snow and like a white cup on the floor?
No, it was in a fucking medieval looking hall. It was in a medieval looking hall where they're having medieval fucking dinner. No Starbucks around.
But you know what though? I bet there's a Starbucks in like the Louvre. No, not the Louvre. Like, chateaus and shit.
A Starbucks?
Yeah.
In Winterfell in the year blah blah, you know, 13. There's no, this is another universe.
It's the flagship. the show's in Seattle, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Portland. No, but there's a perfect amount of like, you know, there's something there's magic of course going on, but not enough where like anything can happen, but then that show devolved into, it's the most spectacular imploding of a show.
In a bad way?
Oh yeah.
Oh really?
Oh my god.
I thought people liked the ending.
Oh no.
It doesn't.
No. Mama, the season, I mean, I watched it all as it went on. It was spectacular. I was obsessed. Sunday night, must see TV. Incredible, incredible, incredible. I watched season 8, episode 3, probably 15 times.
You did?
Yeah, I was in Singapore when it aired, so I had to have a Spanish friend download the torrent and then send it to me in my hotel. I watched it at 3 in the morning, standing up, circling the computer. Not on drugs, right hand to God. Swear, I was so gooned out. And after episode 3, the show just went.
Do you know what transfer addiction is? Sometimes when people, let's say, get their stomach stapled, and they can't abuse food,
they become sex
addicts or alcoholics. And maybe if you couldn't twirlina the pokina and get on deck, perhaps you will put on your white lace front wig and wrap a bedsheet around yourself and fancy yourself
the mother of dragons.
When in fact, you are not a mother nor a dragon. And there's a game involved, but no thrones. Transfer addiction.
Oh,
was that an
shit.
HBO show?
Yeah, of course it was.
Money.
Mama, money, money, money down, money down. They were shooting on three separate locations. Yeah, well, yeah. They were shooting on three separate locations, Croatia, Ireland, and fucking Malta at the same time. Mama, three separate locations. It was episode three of season eight took over a month to shoot. One episode. One episode. And then everybody complained that it was too dark. They couldn't see it. Wild.
You know what I'm fascinated by?
What?
I love when you have a mega hit show like Game of Thrones, The Office, Breaking Bad.
Seinfeld.
And I love when the actors, because in real time, they shoot scenes out of order, episodes out of order. They don't know what happened in the show. I love a video of like Rainn Wilson being like, what's your favorite episode of The Office? And he's like, I don't remember any of it. And the fans are like, don't you remember when Dwight said this? He's like, a moment of it is retained in my mind.
Wow.
Don't even remember being there. Don't remember Steve Carell. Don't remember cast. Like, remember.
I don't know my name. I don't know.
Usually the actors remember like.
Wait, they don't remember anything?
Well, they remember like casting. They remember like their process of like casting. They're like, I remember reading with Steve for the first time, whatever.
Okay.
But then season 1.5 and beyond, it becomes.
Why don't they remember?
Because every day is normal. They go to the same set.
Okay.
With the same people in the same outfits.
Huh.
That's why tour is so draining. Because it is Groundhog's Day.
It is.
We are putting on the same outfits and going and saying the same things to the same people over and over again.
I know. It's wild.
It's great when I'm on stage and I'm listening to Kelly Mantle talk and I look and I'm like, show 60 and I go, it'd be great if she just broke her leg. It'd be great if just something happened that could make me feel. Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if I went backstage? You know those ropes at theaters all backstage? If I took an axe and started chopping the ropes and sandbags started coming down.
How many times do you think when I went up there, when I'm just dangling up there above the proscenium, how many times do you think I wish that thing snapped? How many times do you think Busby would just like black out?
I thought that's why you were putting on the weight. Because you wanted one of the rigs to whoosh. Could you imagine?
Are you kidding me? I imagine every fucking night. I wanted it so bad. I wanted to go. And then I wanted to, I would fall, but I would somehow head first, skull like a watermelon.
No, this is what's gonna happen.
Like skull, a watermelon. Because I don't want to break both my legs and my hips.
Skull and neck crushed into the torso.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, because the head is
eyes
occupying.
Bulged.
Yeah, head is occupying space in this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, innards.
Innards out the ass.
Or no. It's and people. It takes a moment because there's like tension and pressure and gas. And once the people like really lean forward to see if I'm okay,
yeah. And it's a
explosion of innards out the ass into the front row, spraying
with
them.
Diarrhea.
No, with organs, blood,
yeah, but,
blood.
Yeah,
organs
but if the organs are coming out,
diarrhea.
Whatever poop is in you is coming out too.
Well, that's just a moose boosh. Then everything else is just getting fucking rocketed into like 4, 5, 6 rows back. Oh yeah.
I know we've talked about it, but not if and when you die of a death.
I died. She died of death.
What did she die of?
It was death.
What did she die from?
It was death. Oh my gosh.
The way I will have a Red Table Talk book tour, you don't even know. By the way, speaking of Vanderpump, I'm watching these kids, you know, because that's such a big show and I've never seen it.
Me neither.
But it's a huge show.
Sorry to say, it looks kind of boring to me.
It's massive, right? It's so many people watch it, but I've never really seen it. I've seen over David's shoulder here and there.
Straight people working at a bar?
They work at restaurants and they have their personal lives, basically.
Wow. Fascinating.
So, I've never seen it.
Okay. They don't make anything? Like they don't make little outfits or like have competitions?
No, I think it's one of those reality programs where it's just about people's like relationships, work, lives. That's a very popular style of show. People love that type of show.
Yeah, I mean, that's Seinfeld. It's just written well and acted.
There's the cheating thing,
okay.
I guess, that happened.
Oh, well, cheating for straight people is huge.
Cheating for straight people, as you know,
is huge. It's like, there's the crucifixion, there was 9/11, there's Sandy Hook, then there's cheating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cheating is, it's like burying kids under your porch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like up there with that.
Alive, burying them alive.
But I saw that I think the woman who had been cheated on was, I think she's doing like a basically
out of the darkness tour.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was watching and I said, okay, I know cheating is tough, lying to your spouse is bad,
but you're not,
she's not Sydney Prescott. Her whole family and friends weren't murdered. Like, You're not Sidney Prescott. You're not Sidney Prescott.
You not Neve Campbell fucking bitch. Get over it.
Guess what I watched for the first time two nights ago?
What?
Wild Things.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God, did you pull it?
Did you pull it? Yeah, I pulled it. No, David said he pulled it though.
I pulled it.
David said, yeah.
This was back on when it was on TV.
But there's a lot of hotness involved.
It's huge, steamy.
Matt Dillon.
Steamy.
Matt Dillon. Holy shit, Matt Dillon.
Two hands. Two hands with that one.
He is so hot.
Two-hander.
He is so hot.
In that movie.
His face, his body.
He's a bad boy.
All of it.
You know what I mean? He's a bad boy. He's like, you don't want to take him home to your mother.
Do you like Neve Campbell as the goth slut?
I love Neve Campbell as everything. Slut. Yeah. I love her as everything.
Yeah. Did you like Denise Richards as like the...
I love Denise Richards because she is such...
She's everything.
She's a fucking cunt. And she knows how to play a cunt so good.
Yes.
So good.
She knows how to play
God, with a cunt. Her face. Her face acting is fabulous.
And she's one of those people, you know, in real life, she's probably like sweet.
Yeah, she's probably a regular woman.
But on camera, she knows exactly how to dial in that cunt behavior.
It's, I mean, A Drop Dead Gorgeous is so iconic. It's so iconic.
A Drop Dead Gorgeous is how far you can push a character like that before you go too far.
Yeah.
She goes right up to the edge.
Right to the edge. And she does it so fucking well. I think Kirstie Alley goes over the edge in that movie.
Uh-huh.
But Denise Richards goes right to it.
It's amazing.
Yeah, she's fucking amazing. It's fucking amazing. I don't know if she gets as much credit for as being as good of an actress as she is, but I don't know.
I mean, don't even get me started because that movie in general missed the newspaper was not delivered as far as how high quality that movie is.
Yeah.
They skipped that house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
The writing is so good.
Well, that's the plight of Kiki Dunst is that, like, and she said it herself, that all these movies that are so iconic are not appreciated as they roll out.
Yes.
And it's such a shame because her fucking filmography, her resume is extraordinary.
Yeah.
Extraordinary.
Bring It On is so good. I'm sorry.
Everything she does, Melancholia, fucking Virgin Suicides, everything, she's so good.
The guy who plays in Bring It On, the love interest, her love interest.
Mario Lopez?
No. Oh. Her love interest in Bring It On, he's the guy who starred in Swim Fan. He was also at that event.
Jesse Metcalf?
Maybe, I don't know. But David...
Jesse Bradford. Okay.
David, he was at the event the other night, and David, of course, got a little martini in him and went up to him and said, I have to tell you, you're in the best movie of all time. And he goes, which movie? And David goes, Bring It On. But I always think people who made movies that long ago, they must love getting... Everybody wants a compliment on something they just did.
Yeah.
Or something so long ago that they've separated themselves and they can see it for what it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you compliment someone's like hit song from 5 years ago, they're like, oh,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
People are coming at me like a little too hard for Padam. And I'm like, listen, it hasn't charted yet. Let's just like control ourselves. I mean, the video is great, but let's just like.
There's nothing to not like about Kylie Minogue music. I like that song 10 out of 10.
Kylie Minogue.
Isn't that song Kylie Minogue?
My song.
What are you talking about?
My music video and song that I released last week, Padam.
Oh.
I'm doing a bit.
You're doing comedy. I was like.
I'm doing a bit.
I was like, she's going to hate finding out that Kylie just did a song called Padam Padam.
You don't think we look similar in that video that she gave my vibe? You don't think so? With the all red and the pink eyeshadow and the red lips and the wiggle, 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 wiggle Tina? You don't think so? Are you nuts? Are you trolling the pookie?
You know how sometimes they smear Vaseline on the lens? Did you smear it on your TV too? You smear it on
your
phone?
You don't think so? You didn't see that?
Something. I don't know about
that. The close-up shots? She's going to be 55 at this point.
Oh, she's absolutely unbelievably beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful.
I just did a music video and it was one of those, you know that thing where you're on one of those spinning boards and they throw knives at you?
Oh, I saw you. Yeah, it's incredible.
Okay, I had to be on one of those.
And they really threw the knives.
Well, it's magic, so there's other ways of doing it. But it made me think of that clip of Kylie Minogue. She's flat on that record.
The CD! No, it's the CD case.
And she comes up like this.
The CD case at the Brit Awards.
Yes.
Fucking iconic.
And it's Can't Get You Out of My Head playing.
Yeah.
And by the way, that song, doesn't matter what gig.
No.
I can bust that out
banger,
at a
banger,
DJ
banger.
Set. And people turn slutty.
First 3 seconds. Yes. First 2 seconds. Oh my God.
Last Sunday I had a gig and the DJ after me, Ty... He goes, sometimes I like to pick somebody in the audience who's not dancing and I make it my job to find a song that person will dance to. And he points at this guy, this white guy with a button-up straight shirt. I said, I guarantee you if you play Shania Twain, he will dance. And Ty like spun out of this song he was playing and went right into
And the guy turned up.
Oh, drunk white guy, this.
Let's go, girls.
Like offbeat, at own tempo, own time. And wow, we were cackling.
That's so funny.
By the chorus, he's like, and I was like, knew it.
Damn.
Knew it.
Who knew? Well, on that note.
Well, on that note, hey.
Man, I feel like a woman.
Bye.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.